A new study suggests that the pandemic caused some adolescents' brains to age much faster than they normally would. According to a study published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, the average teen girl had their brains age more than 4 years faster than normal, and for boys, it was close to a year and a half faster. So first of all, why did that happen? And why such a stark contrast between boys' and girls' brains? Joining us now is Dr. Jan Ponson of the Yale Child Study Center. And Dr. Ponson, first, let's start with the impact of the pandemic on young minds. How exactly did the average adolescent brain age faster?
Well, the study out of the University of Washington in Seattle was quite interesting. They were measuring teen brains before the pandemic and switched over to measuring maturation during the pandemic, and showed that teen brains matured by what's called cortical thinning. So your cortex, part of your brain, the front part of your brain, especially starts to thin as you age, and it keeps thinning. And during the pandemic, it aged significantly.
So it's probably a waste of a question to say, is there a way to reverse an aged brain?
Yeah, there's not a good way to reverse an aged brain. However, the things that are thought to contribute to the aging, social isolation, especially in girls who thrive more than boys on those interpersonal social relationships. Boys tend to find them through sports and action and activities. Girls can repair that to a good degree by recovering from the pandemic, being out with friends, developing peer relationships. So I think the things that can be done that can be protective rather than worsening yet further this so-called brain maturation.
So, Dr. Ponson, you kind of answered my next question, which was, why was there such a contrast? I mean, when you look at 4.2 years on average for the girls' brains, average, you know, aging faster compared to boys, it was like 1.4, I think, years. I mean, that is a huge difference right. Between the two, but it comes down to their social norms, essentially.
Right, exactly. That's at least one of the hypotheses, is that girls, on average, tend to rely very much on social connection. I think it's approximately 20% of sophomore females spend about 7 hours on their phone. So whether it's phone, in person, there's a lot of social connection dynamics that doesn't play out in quite the same way with boys. So that was one of the reasons that the study personnel thought that girls suffered more from this brain maturation.
It's interesting, though, Dr. Ponson, because when you say it like that, I mean, one of the things we definitely saw during the pandemic was, and I don't know if you mean that it's a stronger connection when you're literally in person, was that there was so much screen time. I mean, we're now dealing with an epidemic of you know, phones needing to be taken away and social media needing to be, you know, have crackdowns on a federal level. But what you're saying is that, you know, girls more than guys, they thrive on literally seeing their friends in person. So it wasn't even enough to be on a Zoom or to be on social media. They craved in-person interaction.
That's right. I think some interaction is better than none. However, the complexity of group interactions in person is very different than group chats or one-on-one. On your phone or Zoom, you can call it social. Some terminology is social grazing. So social grazing is very different than having a nice, pleasant sit-down meal. I'm using analogies here, but social grazing versus really having these strong in-person meetings, release of the love hormone or the relaxing and love hormone, oxytocin, happens more in person. Those connections happen more in person, both at a biological and physiological level. So you do really miss out without those in-person connections.
We're chatting with Dr. Jan Ponson, who has many roles within the Yale Child Study Center and Yale New Haven Children's Hospital, including administrative, leadership, and clinical responsibilities. He is the vice chair of clinical affairs and quality and safety and medical directorships of outpatient clinical services, Children's Day Hospital, and in-home intensive child and adolescent psychiatric service. So you certainly know a thing or two about the young mind out there, Dr. Ponson, and so we appreciate getting your insight into this. What is the real concern with a faster aging brain? So you hear this, right? I mean, the average parent heard this headline mm-hmm. and went, whoa, that's crazy. But what exactly does that really mean? What's the concern there?
Right, right. That's a great question. Melissa, one thing we know is that mental health crisis was increasing before the pandemic. The pandemic gave it a push, a nudge and a push. And now we're not only dealing with the sequelae, but we're also trying to untangle all the problematic issues of teen life that are accelerating the demands, the pressures around academics and college and future and the cost of living. And they're also struggling with social media intensity, negativity, the algorithms that really suck you in. So untangling that from what happened during the pandemic is really a challenge. Where maturation, your brain maturation decrease is thought to affect processing speed, flexibility. So we do see that. We see kids that are struggling with flexibility, thinking on their feet, moving fast. We also see kids that struggle with processing speed, meaning taking information quickly and being able to act upon it. Whether a particular child's brain maturation greatly affects this, affects it a little, is more connected to the causes that created the maturation. So let's say it was experience of trauma that caused the increased maturation. It's the trauma that might be more the issue. So untangling what is cause and effect and what is an epiphenomenon or phenomenon of what's happening, something we can measure that something has happened, are all pieces that are going to be are entangled and need to be sorted out.
Dr. Ponson, you were talking before about sort of the brain structure being impacted, the thickness of the cerebral cortex, I believe is what you used. I'm no doctor, but I think that's what you just said. And I'm curious, right. What is left, especially if you've got parents listening right now, and they are worried about protecting what is left of that layer for their brain, per se. How do we protect it? How do we take care of it and really nurture it so that we don't continue to let their brains age faster than they should? Because we're still living in a time where social media, screen time, and isolation, and mental health breakdowns, that is still a problem in America, even though the pandemic is sort of in the rearview mirror.
Right, right, right. Well, first of all, there's a natural what's called synaptic pruning during adolescence. So all the connections between neurons are naturally tapered down and naturally are pruned away. So that's a natural process. This is a slightly different process with maturation. I would not worry as a parent. Your child has tremendous reserve, and the things that will protect them are the things that parents already know will protect them. Having good relationships with their friends, good relationships with their parents, caring about school, showing empathy with others. So it's the time-tested qualities that make one a good human that the parents just need to make sure that their kids are working towards or getting in their day-to-day, week-to-week life.
Dr. Jan Ponson, I want to thank you so much with the Yale Child Study Center for joining us and explaining this study and the impact it has on our children. Thank you. We appreciate your time.